Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Mexican security and migration officials on Sunday morning blocked the passage of about 400 migrants heading to the United States, detaining several people days after it set off from southern Mexico for the United States. Mexican President Obrador said he wanted undocumented migrants to stay in southern Mexico. A high-level meeting between U.S. and Mexican officials will take place on Thursday. The United States Coast Guard announced Monday it's investigating almost 350 reports of oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico since Hurricane Ida. The Coast Guard has since established a pollution response team in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Category 4 storm made landfall on August 29th in a key oil industry staging area. Roughly 88% of offshore oil production in the region was closed, and over 100 platforms were still not being used on Monday due to the storm. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Human Rights Campaign announced Monday night that Alphonso David was being replaced as president following an investigation into his work in helping former New York Governor Democrat Andrew Cuomo's sexual assault allegations. The HRC is the largest LGBTQ advocacy group in the United States, and David was its first Black American president. COVID-19 variants are fairly normal occurrences. As they pop up, some will fade away. Others can become potential threats. Right now, there are about 4 variants of concern in the United States. That's according to the Cleveland Clinic. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports about one of them.
The new variant of the coronavirus has been identified in nearly every U.S. state. The variant first identified in Columbia back in January has been seen in every state now except Nebraska, with the most cases in California, Hawaii, and Alaska. The World Health Organization named Mu a variant of interest last week, as early research seemed to show that it may be able to avoid protections provided by vaccines and natural immunity.
USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
The Supreme Court has ruled a Texas heartbeat law, which prohibits abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, can go forward as it is litigated. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton over the weekend on Newsmax says there is nothing in the Constitution that takes away the state's rights to regulate abortion, so states should be able to make their own rules and regulations on the procedure.
Well, look, in 1972, the left was able to just create a new constitutional right, supposedly. They were very bold in doing that. There was no precedent, as you earlier said, and we've been in sort of chaos ever since. Before that, the states had the ability to regulate this. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives the federal government or the Supreme Court right now the ability to take that away from the states. And if Massachusetts wants to allow abortions, they can do it. If Texas wants to ban abortions, they should be able to do it. That's where this should stay. And then states can know with certainty how to regulate their own abortion.
The bungled Afghan withdrawal will have Secretary of State Anthony Blinken getting grilled. Dan Naraki reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken will testify in front of Congress next week about the U.S.'s withdrawal from Afghanistan. Blinken is set to appear before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on September 14th. The first of what is expected to be a number of administration officials to appear before Congress to answer questions about the withdrawal and evacuation of American citizens and Afghan allies from the country. Committee Chairman Senator Robert Menendez has said in a statement that there were policy execution and intelligence failures associated with the withdrawal and its aftermath.
I'm Lance Bryan. This is USA Radio News.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. I hope you're having a great day. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. We're going to be talking about mentors and mentorship and what a blessing it is. I'm telling you, I think that if we had a concerted move of where people would stand up, men, women, adults, and to find a mentee, and mentees looking for mentors, well, I'll tell you, we'd go a long way to get this country back on track. And we're going to be talking with Scott Miller in just a moment. He's with Franklin Covey, happens to be one of my favorite inspirational organizations. I've been involved with their product for many years. I mean, talk about a resource that encourages you and expands the brain, enlarges your possibilities, all that good stuff. I mean, their archive of brilliant, brilliant contribution to educate us and to inspire us are associated with Franklin Covey. They've been known this way forever, it seems like. And we're going to be talking about Scott's new book, Master Mentor. Scott, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for the invite. Nice talking with you.
Oh, well, I've been looking forward to this. Anytime we can talk about mentorship, and I was thinking about this in, you know, preparing for this interview with you, is just how important mentors are. Is this what motivated you to write this book?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I don't know anybody that's had success in their life, personally or professionally, that doesn't have a cadre of mentors that helped them get there, whether they knew it or not, right? Whether they were formal or informal. I mean, all of my success has come from me surrounding myself with really smart and wise mentors that helped me to navigate, to recover, to apologize, to take an opportunity. So your opening was dead on. Mentorship, I think, is the key to helping the next generation come up and not make the same mistakes that we did.
And because really when you consider, I mean, right now there's a lot of complaining about the educational system, how our kids have been dumbed down and on, but there are people, and the thing is that's amazing, I find, Scott, is you'd be surprised how, just by asking the question of availability of somebody that you would respect and how they might respond. And I say that to young kids. I mean, you know, some are very daring. I mean, nothing stops them. They'll find a way. They'll get a number to the White House and find a way to call Joe Biden, you know, which is brilliant. I love the idea. There's no barriers for them. But I want to encourage the young kids out there, you know, to knock down the barriers, to go through it, and they will be surprised who they're able to speak with. And what golden nuggets of life they may run into. Who knows, maybe a 5-minute conversation. I mean, as you suggested, many of my mentors as well, it's just a golden nugget that I hold on to, and I've been able to apply throughout my life. And it wasn't like I had, you know, I went out to lunch with them all the time. It was just something that they said to me that I caught and has stayed with me ever since. And I credit them. I refer to them as mentors.
I think that's exactly right. There also is an art, right, Bill, to requesting a mentor. People, I think most successful people, wise people, would love to mentor someone else. And by the way, that person doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, younger than them or more junior. There's lots of peer-to-peer mentoring going on.
Good point.
It's important. It's important when you're looking for a mentor. I think it's vital that you declare your intent up front. My intent is not to ask you for a loan, right? My intent is not to tap into your network. My intent is to learn from you, is to share with you my passions, my fears, my concerns, my mission, and really learn from your own journey. How do I navigate my own? I have just found, almost without exception, successful people are more than willing, they're enthusiastic to mentor someone when the other person is willing to put in the tough work to achieve their own success.
Well, you know, let's break it down a little bit here, you know, for our audience, Scott. Being a mentor, what is involved here? I mean, what I have found, it runs in, it's consistent with your daily expression, your daily walk. It isn't necessarily something that you've got to create a formula for or do something. It's just you being yourself. Things that you take for granted that, as some people would say, you may have forgotten more than we'll ever learn. And it's those little nuggets that are just kind of falling off of you that you may not even appreciate because you're so deep in and so down the road, but yet for somebody coming from behind or somebody alongside that would say, wow, this is absolutely brilliant. I mean, this is the missing piece to my life. I mean, what is that worth?
So that's exactly right. But there's also a watch out, because I do think a lot of mentors can find themselves in the slippery slope of turning their mentee into a mini version of themselves. So I think it's really important that when you are a mentor, whether you're mentoring someone else, perhaps without their knowledge of it, or you've been asked to be a mentor formally or informally, that you're cautious about recognizing what are your passions, what are your strengths. Because a lot of times your mentee doesn't have your skills or your genius or perhaps your economic success or your title. You've got to make sure that you're imparting your wisdom that they can use on their journey, and don't fall into the common trap of trying to make them replicate your journey.
Exactly.
Mentoring is an art, but there's also a little bit of science to it.
Well, let's talk about that. Break it down a little bit. Who are the best mentors?
Well, I think those that have the combination of being smart and being wise. And that may sound like a cliche, but I know lots of smart people that aren't wise. I think wisdom comes from, you know, broad life experience, educationally, culturally, through your successes and your failures. Some of my best mentors, Bill, have been people that have had the biggest bankruptcy. But I often learn how to be a better husband from those that have had failed marriages than those that have had successful, enduring ones. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a rocket star, right? A star to be a mentor. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be willing to share your successes and your failures. You have to be a great listener. You have to not always prescribe your journey, but ask open-ended big questions. So if you pursued that, what could that lead to? If you were to make that decision, what are the ups and the downs of that? You can share what you've learned. You can share where you've gone, you know, on the right path and the wrong path. But I'd say a couple of core tenets of being a great mentor. Asking big open-ended questions, not prescribing your journey as their journey, and showing perhaps an even unnatural, uncharacteristic level of vulnerability where your mentee can ask you questions and you're even practically willing to share, hey, you may not know this, but when I was fired from this job or when I was late on my bank loan on this line of credit, here's how I renegotiated, right? Some of the biggest lessons in life from mentors come from sharing your messes, your mistakes, your failures.
Exactly. And this is, and to be able to have that kind of relationship, I mean, it doesn't necessarily start at the top, but it's amazing. I have found how quick it can get there. just by virtue of being in relationship with somebody and having some time, and especially in this, you might say, relationship-starved culture in which we live in. It's like people are just starving to connect, aren't they, Scott?
It's very true. And a connection now is the core of every business, right? Every company is now, quote, a technology company. And every company's in the same business. They're in the people business. It's why I wrote the book Master Mentors, 30 Transformative Insights from Our Greatest Mind. I took 30 of my favorite guests on a podcast that I host called On Leadership with Scott Miller and shared a different insight from 30 of my first guests, people that I have.
Scott, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Scott after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Blue Star Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
Blue Star soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. Blue Star worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
We'll be right back.
fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. And our discussion with Scott Miller continues. He's a Franklin Covey Senior Advisor on Thought Leadership. What a title there, Scott.
For 25 years, I got to pick my own title.
You did. Okay. It wasn't, power of the universe or anything, but thought leadership. I love that. That's very clever. I love the idea. You know, I got to tell you, being a show host myself and you do a podcast, it is fascinating to be able to interview the caliber of people that we have on this show, as you have on your podcast, you know, like Susan Cain and General Stanley McChrystal and Trent Shelton. This is just brilliant to be able to have a platform like this and share it with our audience, right?
It's brilliant and it's an honor, right? Like you, I've been so privileged to interview some of the biggest authors, business titans, celebrities in the world and glean out from them transformational insights, and then to include them in this book to really pollinate them to people who may not have the time to watch their TED Talk or read their book, and aggregate them all into one book. That's kind of my mission. And like you, I am just in awe at the wisdom that comes out of these guests.
Well, in Master Mentors, you have 30 transformative insights from our greatest minds. Let's share some with our audience. How about General McChrystal? What was the key nugget you got from him?
You know, he's become a friend of mine, and I just thoroughly enjoyed not just his service to our nation, but his introspection. You know, General McChrystal has been a lifelong military officer for this country. He, of course, led the invasion of Afghanistan as directed by, you know, the political leaders of our country. And he grew up idolizing General Robert E. Lee, of course, the now very controversial Civil War general. And he went to Robert E. Lee High School. He was living in Lee Barracks at West Point. And his wife gave him a picture of Robert E. Lee 27 years now ago, early on in their marriage. And they hung it on their wall, and they moved it with every home they lived in around the world. And then about 5 years ago, there was a white supremacist neo-Nazi rout we all know about in Charlottesville, Virginia, long before, of course, the Black Lives Matter movement. And where there was a bunch of controversy going on around General Lee and McChrystal, after kind of a couple of attempts from his wife to implore him to perhaps dispose of it, should someone come into their house and get the wrong idea about what they believe to be, you know, racial equality, he took it out one Sunday, took it down off the wall, and walked it out to his garbage can and threw it in the garbage. Nobody knew about it. There was no ceremony. He just decided he wanted to be on what I call the right side of history. Long before Black Lives Matter, it wasn't politically expedient. He didn't do it with any press. He wrote about it in his book and shared about it on the podcast. And my intent of highlighting it was all of us should assess our decisions, our public statements, in the hopes to be what he calls the right side of history before it becomes convenient.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what leadership does. And Stanley McChrystal has been known for his leadership. So not surprising, right?
It's true, and he's also made mistakes. I mean, as you know, President Obama fired him, you know, back in the, you know, in 15 years ago or so, or 10 years ago, when there were some, you know, there were some comments made by he and his command about then Vice President Joseph Biden. So he's made lots of mistakes, and he's also had successes. But again, he demonstrates that vulnerability to share his messes and his successes that we can learn from them.
Well, I'd love to talk to him about Afghanistan right now.
Stand by. He's coming back on the podcast next week.
Okay. Well, good. Good. Because, when I was in the Marine Corps, Scott, we lost a two-star because he spoke up. He spoke up a little bit early regarding the Nixon administration. And the thing about the military, the chain of command is time-honored. There's a way to do things. We had a lieutenant colonel here recently after 17 years of service. Was so appalled by what was happening in Afghanistan that he put his commission on the line, walked away. I mean, 3 years from, you know, fulfilling his commitment, getting retirement, all the benefits, and says it's not worth it. I cannot be a part of it. And in this particular case, unlike the general who in his own personal moment decided to do something, in this particular case, because it was such a public manifestation and offense, he felt That's compelled right. to speak out. But again, this is what leadership does. It will fall on its sword every time, you know, quality leadership. And not for the sake of falling on their sword. They will do it in momentous moments and times of decision-making that are critical. And, you know, he's an example, you know. And I think that in some cases, you might even say he would be a mentor to some because, as you said in your book, sometimes it's just a moment. It's something passing that somebody drops in, you know, a rightly spoken word into a mentee, or a mentee is walking by and just like a sponge sucks that up and carries that with them forever.
That's exactly right, right? It's being able to demonstrate, as Susan Cain and also mm-hmm. Dr. Susan David talk about in the book, around yeah. having emotional agility, recognizing that not everybody sees it the way you do, and perhaps your own mindset, your own belief systems might need to evolve with, you know, as society progresses. It doesn't mean that you change your morals or you change your standards, but you might need to change the way you view what's going on in society. Say, hey, am I part of the problem, or could I be part of the solution?
Exactly. You know, today in the era of COVID, social distancing, remote learning, all that goes on, some people might say, you know, Bill, Scott, I'd love to have a mentor, but, you know, this is a bit of a barrier right now. What would you say to them?
Well, I don't think I would agree with that. I think there's all types of ways you can connect with mentors. It could be through LinkedIn. It could be mm-hmm. digitally, right? It could certainly be through FaceTime. It could be on Zoom or Teams or Skype. I mean, there's so many ways to reach out. Here's what I've learned, Bill. The biggest lesson of my life. People can't help you if you don't ask.
Yes.
People can't help mm-hmm. you if they don't know you need help. Again, mm-hmm. you know, some of the biggest celebrities in the world have come on my podcast because I asked them to. I reached yes. out and offered them a platform, and now they've become friends and mentors of mine. So I think regardless of what your comfort level is, you know, we're always going to be humans connected with each other. That's not changing because of COVID or anything else. We're always going to find a way to connect. It might be digitally, might be socially distanced. I think at some point we'll be back to some level of normalcy in the future. Mm-hmm. But there's so many ways to be able to connect with mentors by just asking. Let me tell you,
yeah.
there's no such thing as overnight success. There is overnight fame. Google Lorena Bobbitt. But
yeah.
there's no such thing as overnight success. And all mm-hmm. these mentors that are out there, these successful entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, authors, TV hosts, sports players, politicians, what they all have in common is they have an indefatigable work ethic, and they built mm-hmm. their success over time. And every one of them that I know would love to give back to someone that has the same level of work ethic, the same level to build something, turn something out of nothing to help other people. You just have to ask them.
It's like we're pre-wired for this, Scott. We're pre-wired for a relationship. And there is something about success. When you are success, you have this incredible desire to, you know, some say pay it forward, whatever it is. But it's just you're excited to want some, you know, the same thing for somebody, especially if you have somebody that comes into your orbit that has a similar, you know, level of commitment that you're referring to.
That's right. And their passions, their project may be unrelatable to you. But what mm-hmm. they share in common with you is a desire to pollinate new ideas and to, like I said, turn, you know, nothing into something. I don't know of a person that's, you know, achieved success that if someone doesn't knock on their door metaphorically or literally and say, hey, can I get some guidance from you, as long as it's not, you know, covertly cloaked in, you know, wanting a loan, like I said, or tapping into your
yes.
network or coming onto your show. But generally, I just want to learn, what have you learned that could apply to my life, to my passion, to my mission? 9 times out of 10, the person's going to say, happy to help you. And then they will invite you back if they see you improving, if they see you making success, if they see you owning your failures, if you actually put in the work. There's a commensurate level of their investment in you and your willingness to work on yourself. And by the way, there's this thing, Bill, called reciprocal leadership. I mean,
yes.
I'm being mentored
mm-hmm. yeah.
by people that are half my age. on what kind of camera to use for my podcast.
Well, Scott,
and, you know,
gotta leave it there. Scott Miller has been our guest. Thank you, Scott.
Diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Mexican security and migration officials on Sunday morning blocked the passage of about 400 migrants heading to the United States, detaining several people days after it set off from southern Mexico for the United States. Mexican President Obrador said he wanted undocumented migrants to stay in southern Mexico. A high-level meeting between U.S. and Mexican officials will take place on Thursday. The United States Coast Guard announced Monday it's investigating almost 350 reports of oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico since Hurricane Ida. The Coast Guard has since established a pollution response team in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. The Category 4 storm made landfall on August 29th in a key oil industry staging area. Roughly 88% of offshore oil production in the region was closed, and over 100 platforms were still not being used on Monday due to the storm. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey, back with you. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Real treat coming for you. Martin Duggard's joining us. New York Times number one best-selling author. And we're going to talk about his just-released book, Taking Paris. Of course, many of us have related to Martin. If we hadn't been in contact with his previous historical efforts and great books, his best-selling books like King Tut, The Murder of King Tut, The Last Voyage of Columbus, The Epic Adventure of Stanley and Livingston, of course, the co-author of the Mega Million selling Killing series with Bill O'Reilly, Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, Killing Jesus, Killing Patton. Martin, yeah, I think you just about killed everybody here, you know?
Not for lack of trying, yeah.
Yeah, right. But you've had a great run. But now we're talking about Taking Paris. Set the backdrop. What was going on here? And, you know, this was all leading to World War II. And Paris, somewhat, you know, as I was reading your book, I couldn't help but think that, you know, some of this is, you know, resembles of where we are in America, that you've got people that are kind of asleep and laissez-faire about, you know, the pending threats. And Paris seemed to be very much that way. They just didn't think that this was going to be possible, right?
Yeah, you know, when, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here. Yeah. But, you know, at the start of World War II, you know, the French army was one of the most powerful armies in the world. I mean, for instance, you know, they're considered like number one or two as far as strength and number of men, whereas the U.S. at the time was 17th in the world. We were behind Romania. We had a very small army. We had, you know, we didn't even have tanks, largely. Mm-hmm. But when the Germans swept in a surprise attack in May 1940 and literally swept across France within a week and then pivoted south to take Paris just within a few weeks of attacking, it caught the entire nation by surprise because the French people at first thought it was impossible that the Nazis mm-hmm. would ever take Paris. And when it became clear that the Nazis were going to advance into the city, literally millions of people tried to flee. And what happened was once the Germans actually took the city, all the French who had fled Paris had to kind of sheepishly go back into the city and resume their daily lives under what would become 4 years of Nazi occupation.
Yeah, this is the thing that, and as I was reading your book and recalling that, yes, you had this occupation that was going on, and people found a way to, I guess, exist in the midst of this, which is pretty crazy. And you think about what's happening in real life with Afghanistan and the roller coaster ride they've been on. I mean, how much of, historical reference, applies to what's going on in Afghanistan and what will apply?
There's a couple different things. First of all, the fall of Kabul is very much like the fall of Paris. I mean, you had a populace who had plenty of time to get out, and all of a sudden, because they thought the Taliban at the time or the Nazis were never going to make it into the city, or at least there would be plenty of time, perhaps months, maybe even a year, to get out. But when the city fell, it fell immediately. You had these people who had no interest in getting out. All of a sudden, they wanted to flee. You have an enemy in the Taliban and in the Nazis that literally come in and impose their will from day one, and completely change the way of life of everybody within the city in a very mm-hmm. oppressive and brutal manner.
Exactly.
I would say that too with the Taliban. It's funny. I mean, they have a long history of just waiting out their enemies. I mean, the city of Kandahar is named after Alexander the Great because Alexander is Afghani for Kandahar is Afghani for Alexander. And as far back as Alexander in 330 BC, but up to the British in 1841 and the Russians, the Taliban and their forebears are very, very good at just laying low and waiting as many years as it takes to sweep in and take over again. And we're the last to fall victim to that.
Yeah, and that's the contrast here in America. I often say, Martin, that our culture stands in front of a microwave and yells, hurry up. Things just don't move fast enough. But yet you have cultures in the Middle East that, hey, it's a generational war. I mean, especially when you're talking about the Middle East where you have ancient hatred and wars that have been going on for thousands of years. I mean, you talk about the forever war. I mean, we think 20 years and, everybody's getting, cranky and unstable about it. But, hey, these people have a different condition. What I feel for is these young girls, for example, and even young boys for that matter, for 20 years didn't know about Sharia. I mean, it was a distant deal. Maybe their grandparents told them about it or something. And now all of a sudden, as you say, the Taliban comes in such an oppressive way and a strike force that is horrific, much like any other brutal army that would come in. I mean, they're going to get your attention right away. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right?
Well, it's interesting. Right now, the Taliban is putting on a charm offensive for the world, trying to show that they're not going to be as oppressive as they will eventually become. And they just put down a women's protest in very violent fashion yesterday. That's exactly what the Nazis did when they came into Paris in 1940. They, instead of destroying the city as they did with other cities they had conquered, like Warsaw, which they just leveled, they came into Paris and said, we're your friends. We're not going to be mean-spirited. We can all get along here. And, of course, within a matter of months, all that falls apart. And the same thing is going to happen in Afghanistan.
Exactly. Well, and as you write in the book, the Führer looked at Paris. I mean, well, everybody looked at Paris. I mean, Paris, the city of lights and all that it represented and everything. I mean, this was a crown jewel, for the Führer to take over, right?
Well, yeah, Paris, I mean, throughout the centuries, it's become, you know, it's known for its free thinking and its search for enlightenment, and, you know, home to artists and writers and all sorts of people. Just, you know, you think about the great food that it's famous for. Mm-hmm. And Hitler was a failed watercolor painter. He, despite the fact that he was, you know, evil, he had a little bit of that artist still living in his cold black heart. And when Paris fell, he paid a very short visit to the city, was taken around to all the key architectural and artistic sites as far as the galleries. And he already knew what he was looking at. He had studied it. He had researched it. So everything that he saw within the city was the realization of something of a long-held dream, which is why he chose to make Paris kind of the stopover point. If you were a German soldier during World War II, it was German policy, Nazi policy, to let every soldier have at least one tour of leave within Paris. And so while the French people were suffering greatly, they, you know, they were out of heating oil, they were starving because of the lack of food, Nazis came in as tourists. They took pictures, they hogged the public transportation, they had no lack of food, they had no lack of fresh coffee. You know, the people of Paris were reduced to eating, you know, nuts and chicory in lieu of coffee. And so it just became one of those things where the Nazis really wanted to make something special out of Paris as their crown jewel, their possession, instead of seeing the fact that it belonged to the French at all anymore. And right up until the bitter end, they refused to destroy it. I mean, when the French infantry and the American artillery came in to liberate Paris, every one of the bridges over the Seine were wired to be blown up. And such was the German fascination with the city of Paris that they didn't push that plunger down. None of those bridges were blown before the city was recaptured.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, you had Adolf Hitler wanting to, in a sense, though, take some of Paris and bring it to Germany, did he not?
He did. Well, he began looting the Louvre, what was left of the Louvre. The Parisians had quickly secreted a lot of that stuff, all the treasures of the ages, out of the city before the Germans got there. But what Hitler could get his hands on, he moved a lot of it into Germany. And he wanted to rebuild Berlin to be a better city than Paris. He wanted to remake it so that was the crown jewel of all of Europe. And so he stole whatever he could from Paris.
Mm-hmm. We've got to go to break. We're coming on 18 minutes before the top of the hour. Martin Duggart is with us, and we're talking about his new book, Taking Paris.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published.
travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, from the number one New York Times bestselling co-author of The Killing Series with Bill O'Reilly, comes the spellbinding story of the Allied liberation of Paris from the grip of the Nazis during World War II. His new book just released, Taking Paris, The Epic Battle for the City of Lights, is the riveting story of the people who set that beautiful city free. Martin Duggart is with us. Martin, before we get back into Taking Paris, just a little background, you know, for our audience, because sometimes, you know, when we get a chance to interview and have discussions with authors of your stature, you know, our audience wants to know, how did it start for you? How did you get into, you know, writing history books?
Good question. You know, literally, I got out of college and had always been a reader. And I got a corporate job, and within 2 weeks, I knew that I was not going to make it in the corporate world. I was just bored out of my mind. And I just started writing on the side. I began doing very small magazine articles for no money, just the byline. But I really wanted to make it. Also, I realized I had a passion for writing. So I kind of moved up the food chain a little bit in magazines. But, you know, you can only juggle magazine stories for so long, especially when, you know, my wife and I had two kids. And I wanted to stay home more often instead of being on the road all the time. So I wrote a history book, and it did okay. And I realized I had a deep passion for history, and I began, you know, keeping doing them. And after I had a few under my belt, I got a call from my agent, who at the time was also Bill's agent. He wanted me to come to New York and sit down with Bill and see, you know, and see if we could hammer out a couple of book ideas. And you know, Bill came up with Killing Lincoln, and that one took off. And then then Killing Kennedy and Killing Jesus and Killing Patton. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We just finished the 11th book in the series. So Taking Paris comes out now. We have another Killing book that comes out in May. So I've got this great – I've got one foot in my solo career and one foot in my relationship with Bill. And literally just to be able to sit down every day and dive into the research and pour myself into some historical era, you know, and to learn as much as I possibly can, then find an exciting way to put it on the page.
Exactly.
That's my passion. I love history, but I don't like the way it's so often written. It's so often written kind of a very dry, boring, academic way. And I think history should, you should turn the pages. It should be fascinating. It should be like a great suspense novel where all you want to do is find out what happens next. And that's what I try to do when I put these things on the page.
Are you offended by the narrative approach of history these days that seems to obliterate the truth? Because the important part to me of history is that truth element.
You know, and especially when you write nonfiction, you can't fudge anything. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't have the liberty to get in someone's head, so I can never say something like, oh, he thought. I've got to know precisely what someone said. And, you know, I'm not one who goes after, let's put it this way, that some of the topics I write about, whether it's African explorers or World War II, I mean, for some people, that's not the kind of history they want to read. They want a mm-hmm. different kind of history, something with a little bit, but history is truth. I mean, it literally is, it has to be factual, whether you're writing about Jesus Christ or whether you're writing about George S. Patton. The history has to be completely accurate. And I don't have any patience for people who would try to make up history or bend history. And I got to kind of keep my mouth shut about it because so many people, they want to take what happened, the actual events, and pretend that and distort them or turn them and bend them in a way to suit a political agenda. And I don't know.
Without a doubt. Yeah, I'm with you, Martin, and that's the reason I asked this question, because in reading, you know, your books, I sense this level of honor and professionalism to the historical documentation, you know, because this is why it's so important, and the lane that you're filling here is so critical, especially at a time when people have gotten fast and loose. And I think the whole profession of journalism has been greatly compromised and maybe needs to go through a bit of a revival to realize, hey, look, maybe we're off track here. Maybe we've leaned, you know, too much on the hysterical and emotional and the, you know, the narrative, anonymous reporting and that sort of thing, and have done a disservice. I mean, and it's one thing, you know, if you're going to write a novel, that's okay. But if you're trying to, you know, present yourself as a historian, that's something else altogether. I mean, that comes, you're walking on hallowed ground as far as I'm concerned.
You can't, I think when you write history, this is my viewpoint, you have to go straight down the middle. You can't mm-hmm. have an agenda. For instance, you know, Bill O'Reilly is a well-known, more to the right commentator. But if you read any one of the Killing books, you won't find politics in there. It's straight right. history. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of fun, too, because if you really research your history as you're writing a book and you kind of keep that idea of no agenda out of your mind, you kind of open yourself up to seeing even villains as much more complex individuals than just simply
exactly.
all bad or all good. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to get to know the people.
Exactly. I think that's where intellect is expanded, is when you're down, you know, you're in that sweet spot of being down the middle, that you're not coming in with some you know, preconceived notion or prejudice as much as possible. Because this is what I love about this, is that it's a time for discovery. It must be a unique opportunity for you. And it's one thing to be, you know, on your own, and let's not say you don't have a team of people, but I mean, when you as opposed to working with somebody like O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly, of course, has an appreciation and affinity for history himself.
Oh, Bill is a history geek just like me. And, you know, it's been one of the joys of my life to write the Killing series with him because, yeah, first of all, he's great at publicity. I mean, I work in my little garage office here in Southern California, and mm-hmm. I just spend all my time focusing on the history, and I let Bill do all the sales type stuff. And, you know, and that's a great privilege because as a writer to be able to completely immerse yourself in a topic and just to the point that you, and it sounds kind of weird, but you kind of lose track of reality because if you, yeah. for instance, with taking Paris, I spent the better part of a year in living in, you know, emotionally in the time between 1940 and 1944 and wow. trying to find mm-hmm. as much as I could about those things. And so if you spend 6 hours a day living in another time period and then you, you know, leave your office, you walk in the house and you try to relate to your family, It can be a little weird.
You know? I can imagine. Yeah. You probably go, your wife goes, okay, back to therapy for you for a while. We need to get you grounded.
Well,
exactly.
You know, what she would say is, please don't drive a car for at least an hour. Because
yes.
I would be so completely oblivious, you know. So, but, you know, I think if you're a writer, if you are passionate about your topic, that's what you do. You have to go there. And, and to be able to do it historically and really get to know some of these great characters in history and learn their strengths and their flaws and find a way to put it on the page in a way that interests the reader, that's a gift.
Yeah, Martin, you know, as you mentioned earlier, how the Germans, you know, came in kind of casually into Paris, thinking they were going to befriend. And then next thing you know, here comes the hammer and it's falling down. And you have this patriotic band of Parisians known as the Resistance. What did you learn and appreciate from the Resistance?
You know, first of all, too, I think when I started writing this book, when you think about a book about war, you think it's going to be all men. And then when you read about the Resistance, you find out that not only were they just very ordinary people, people with no military training, no military equipment, no specific skills. They made it up as they went along. But it was a very balanced blend of men and women working together, and there was no hierarchy to it. And so you didn't have so you had people just doing whatever it took to liberate their city. And I found that fascinating because, hey, from a readership point of view, it kind of opens the readership up to women who might be interested in the Resistance. But I think, on the other hand, the history of it, just to realize what these people did, to go out at night and after a curfew and risk, if they're captured, being, you know, tortured, imprisoned in solitary confinement, and perhaps shipped off to a death camp or just, you know, killed by a firing squad. I mean, that kind of courage, I don't know if I have that kind of courage. You know what I mean? And I would hope that I did if something ever happened to our country. But I was just amazed at the lengths those people would go to know what it was like to be free again.
Yeah, I mean, to be willing to fall on your sword for freedom, and there were people and stories yet to be told. We've heard some, even for the Afghanis. I mean, over 60,000 people died for freedom, and here, you know, they've been dealing with this for, you know, thousands of years, right? And so now they're, you know, back to square one.
Yeah, and it's regrettable. You know, I've spoken to a number of very, very high level people as background for a recent project, and you know, people who had access to, you know, the presidents and various presidents, not just our current president, and the consensus was that we needed to get out of Afghanistan. And the problem is, like, there was no good way to get out. And, you know, the Taliban just had to wait us out. And that's what the Germans would have done. They would have tried to wait us out if we hadn't invaded. There was no D-Day. If there was no Anzio Beach, they would have just hung around and they might still be there today if we hadn't found a way in.
Well, Taking Paris is the title of his new book. Martin Duggart has been with us. Martin, again, we thank you for the book. We got about 15 seconds left. What do you want people to derive from Taking Paris? I'll let you sum it up.
You know, I want people to enjoy history. I just want people to sit down, read a fast-paced page-turner that's full of detail, and I want them to enjoy history. I want them to get down and say, man, I need to read more history because
exactly.
This is supposed to be told.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free, 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you afraid to...